Can I say something about Saquon Barkley real quick?
Yes.
He's been pretty damn impressive.
Yes.
And he's had over 100 yards from scrimmage for however many games now. I was worried over the first few games that he's not going to be a guy that can sustain drives because he gets stuffed regularly. Like, even last week, he had two big runs and then, like, the rest of his carries for all for 2 yards or less. But you don't have much to separate him from the offensive line there. I'm frustrated because I've heard two different people now compare him to Barry Sanders. And I think I'm trying to figure out how the hell they're doing that. And I think it's only because Barry Sanders used to get stuffed and then he'd have great runs. But there's no like physical comparison to Barry Sanders.
I said that on a pregame show, and I think Sean felt it was a great point. I don't think I was saying that physically. It was more just like the nature of just the production level.
Okay. Because like, not like even by their style, like they're not the same style runners.
Well, Barry, nobody's ever going to be like Barry Sanders. I watched Barry.
Well,
that's
why we can't compare him to Barry Sanders.
Well, I think though there is a comparison in that Saquon Barkley, even going back to Penn State, usually has been sort of a 1, 2, 3 yards, and then he'll bust
and
a big one.
Okay.
You're always nervous about him breaking one.
Except that Saquon has the, like Barry would get caught from behind all the time. Barry was almost like a receiver who's awesome in the mid-range, you know, but doesn't have a deep threat because he was just incredibly elusive.
Yes.
Whereas Saquon Barkley is not necessarily elusive. But once he gets moving and he gets a little shiftiness to him, he's a sight to behold.
I mean, it's a weird deal with him because he's such a good player. And usually when you draft really good players in football, it's a good thing. But they passed on 2 or 3 quarterbacks and now they're 1-5 at a guy in Barkley at the position of highest supply in the NFL. And usually you draft players in the NFL or any sport because they're cheap. Saquon Barkley is a very expensive running back. He's really good, but he's also really expensive.
Yeah.
And you usually want to use the draft to draft inexpensive guys.
I think, though, that you brought in a guy that is having an immediate impact, just like Leonard Fournette sort of was last year, though now it might be a fact that the Jaguars are better without him, and Ezekiel Elliott as well. Like, that has worked out. Like, that, honestly, if you're going into a draft in the top five, you want to do something safe with a top five pick, that if there is a running back like that, I think it's been proven over the last 3 years that that will definitely work out for you, though if you're passing on a quarterback, you might be shooting yourself in the foot. Another random note, then just because of Barry Sanders. I wish we would get more just random Barry Sanders highlights thrown into our lives. I know it's been years and years, but the only Barry Sanders I get in my life comes in a very depressing manner, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, fair enough. Time now for the Mike Meltzer pump up.
Oh, yeah.
The ALCS game one
you
tomorrow
pick the
night.
Indians. Don't forget that.
Here we go. You know what I sense this morning?
Hmm.
And I don't like it. Paul and I were just talking about this. I sense complacency. I'm like looking upon the city right now on the 19-4-24 Green Bay Plaza. And I'm feeling like people are a bit complacent with what's going on. They're like, yeah, the Astros have the best team. It's baseball. It's still hard. Here's what we do in the city of Houston. Houston has teams that repeat as champions.
And they do.
The Rockets in 94-95. The Dynamo in 96 and 97.
That's a good point.
The Comets with a four-peat back 18, 19 years ago. That's what this team has the opportunity to do. And they are the best team. And think about this. You're facing the Boston Red Sox. We need to avenge the litany of losses the Bill O'Brien Texans have had against Belichick and Brady and all those Red Sox fans. We need to continue the dominance of this team against all these historic franchises. The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. This ownership needs to continue. This team won the World Series last year, and they're a better team this year. They have a better bullpen. Yeah, the health with some guys might be an issue, but they're a better, more well-rounded, more complete team. And to me, here's the major difference between the Astros and anybody else in the American League. Yes, the Red Sox have a great offense. Yes, they have Chris Sale. Nobody else has Justin Verlander.
Oh!
Nobody else has Justin Verlander. When the Astros made that move on the night of August 31st last year, that was the difference. That was the difference in winning the ALCS. That was the difference in winning the World Series. That they got Justin Verlander and nobody else got Verlander. This is a big opportunity against the Red Sox. This team will win this series, and they are en route to a second straight World Series championship. Astros in six.
There you go. I like that. Okay, I don't know why you're so down on them. They're only going to win six, but there you go. Good job, by the way, being sure Gary Glitter gets his royalties.
I don't care.
I
don't care. I love that song. I love that song so much.
I think Gary and I work well in this combination.
In this combination, yes.
Listen, it's the arts, not the artist.
Yeah.
Allow me to enjoy my Chick-fil-A. Allow me to enjoy my Michael Jackson, and allow me to enjoy my Gary Glitter one song. Just one song.
I feel like throwing Gary Glitter in with those two is...
I agree, but whatever.
Like one is,
Shame me for my random taste that has nothing to do with their personal or their preferences.
No, as far as the back-to-back and what it could do for the city, I already feel like the Astros they've exorcised the demons that have plagued the city for quite some time.
I agree with you.
Like how people just had this doom and gloom vision of exactly how their teams were going to do in the playoffs.
Typical Houston.
The Houston. Remember Houston used to be a verb.
Houstoning.
Like, oh, they got Houstoned or they Houstoned it. Yeah, we're Houstoning. You don't hear that as much anymore at all.
Brave new world.
Because of what the Astros have done.
The future is bright.
And that's where, even though it was how many years ago now that I predicted a golden age of Houston sports.
You were correct.
I said they were a franchise quarterback away from a golden age.
Yes.
They have their franchise quarterback. And we're just trying to get up over that hump.
Yes.
But we're very close. We're very, very close because of the Astros.
You have a Carmelo. I mean, that's the next step.
Look, we are a franchise quarterback and a Golden State plane crash away from a golden age of Houston sports. That's where we are right now.
We would never wish that, ever, though.
Of course I wouldn't wish it. I'm just saying if it happened, then there you go.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah. Or maybe California fell off into the ocean because of a cataclysmic earthquake.
Yeah, we're not hoping for it, but...
I'm not hoping for a tsunami, but...
You take advantage of the opportunities laid at your feet. You know, it's the NFL. Everyone's getting hurt all the time.
On a slightly different and probably more negative or I guess I should say darker note, we have yet to discuss what happened on Monday during Game 3, this whole Ryan Presley sticking up for Roberto Osuna deal. So from what I can tell in this story, essentially some Cleveland fan was heckling Osuna pretty heavily during the game.
Talking about the domestic violence, making references to that. And Ryan Presley came over and said, hey, bro, I'm paraphrasing here. Don't bring that stuff up. And I don't think it was a bad look for Presley. I think he might have used some coarse language at some point. But it was actually pretty civil as, like, disagreements between a fan and a player go.
He was basically like, come on. That essentially.
Like, don't go there. I think, though, I think this isn't something where I feel like Presley should be defending Osuna. It's something that Osuna is just going to have to live with. If anything, now, okay, great. Boston knows that this bothers Presley and Osuna. At some point, they're going to hear from it while they're warming up in the bullpen.
They'll definitely hear about it.
Boston's one of the peak places for obnoxious fan behavior. He'll hear about it.
Especially in right field, which is where the bullpen is.
I'm not tearing into Presley because he actually was very civil about it. He went over and was trying to just have a conversation with the guy, you know.
And I'll be honest, that fan was not that, at least based off of what we saw, and we saw an edited video, but that fan did not seem that abusive with what he was saying. He was just, if you're going to get heckled, I mean, these are the kind of heckles that you are going to experience as someone who was suspended for over half.